You're listening to a 9to5.cc podcast.
Hey everyone, just a quick reminder that if you're going to be making any purchases on Amazon.com, Amazon.ca, or Zazzle.com, please go to www.9to5.cc first and click the links in the sidebar or at the bottom of the page to support the site. It makes no difference to you, but it really helps us out a lot. Enjoy the show. Thanks. We are back.
Yes, we are.
9to5 keeps going to Fantasia. We've been pretty good about being daily.
I think we are.
But we're kind of like behind.
Are we?
Today is Thursday,
and we're going to
be talking
about
movies that showed up on Sunday.
Yeah.
But whatever, man. You know.
Okay.
Don't hate the player, hate the game.
True dat. True dat.
We both saw. Bloody Knuckles.
Yep.
Canadian film, world premiere.
Mm-hmm.
I guess. B, like, very much on purpose, B-rated horror slasher film with, like, a little bit of, like, humorous social commentary.
Trauma-inspired.
Heavily trauma-inspired, sure. I would say. Very, very, very reminiscent of the trauma works. And you saw?
The Midnight Swim, a nocturnal, semi-supernatural thriller,
mm-hmm.
And also a kind of a connection story, or, like, a family connection, reconnection tale.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Like Boyhood.
Yeah, no. It was not like Boyhood. But you know, whatever. We'll get into that. So say some more about Bloody Knuckles.
Okay, so Bloody Knuckles is a the story of a independent sort of like shock comic book artist
mm-hmm.
who then makes a shock comic book about the a gang, a Chinese triad or Tong gang,
uh-huh.
I guess. And then they decide to cut his hand off, and without kind of any explanation, his hand comes back to life and wants him to continue to make these messed up comics, and he does not want to out of fear for his life, because
uh-huh.
they already cut his hand off.
I thought the hand got into like the goo that the Tong gang was spreading out, and that was like sort of implied why it came to life.
I guess so. I didn't think it was incredibly clear, but I kind of didn't care.
Yeah, no, that was not. if you're going to like quibble about like the mechanics of the animated hand, you're probably not thinking hard in the correct way.
Yeah, exactly.
This film.
Yep. The opening sequence of this film, I think, kind of says it all.
Mm-hmm.
Where there's a special needs kid who wants juice.
Yeah.
And then his either mother or caretaker or whatever says, "Go to the basement to get juice."
Yep.
And instead of drinking juice, he drinks rat poison.
Yes.
And then
he drinks the Tong Gang's.
The Tong Gang's special brand rat poison.
Right.
And then goo comes out of his eyes, and then he vomits goo everywhere.
And he explodes. And then later they mention him in a news report where they mentioned that a mentally handicapped person was exploded by the goo.
Exactly.
It was great.
So, yeah. If you're like, what the fuck? This movie's not for you. If you're
like, yay,
this movie's absolutely for you.
Sure.
And the other thing, too, like what we talked about with the... in terms of obviously the special effects are very low budget.
Yeah.
A lot of practical effects.
Yep.
But also has the other thing where it kind of calls back to trauma is that like that weird sort of like socially conscious stuff that trauma does, like
mm-hmm.
trauma kind of like has a point.
So,
and
this, okay.
sort of
yeah.
It's not always like the best point, but they're like they're like trying to get something a little bit more across than just vulgar nonsense. Like there's often like little jabs at like a lot of freedom of speech stuff,
right?
Little
right.
you know jabs at the government or whatever. And this is also very much like the through line, or not even through line, but like the undertone of the film is really about
freedom of speech. Yeah.
And if you can just make fucked up comic books about whatever you want with
mm-hmm.
no repercussions, or if you can't.
And you get your hand cut off by angry Chinese Tongs, and then your hand comes to life and gets you into trouble.
Correct.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, I think that's a pretty...
Yeah, you hit the bases.
Hit the bases of Bloody Knuckles, and I mean, I guess if I were to
Did
sit there...
Did you like it?
I thought it was a lot of fun.
Yep.
Like, it was definitely, I feel kind of almost a little bad for it. Like...
Really?
In the same way that I felt a little bad about, like the last year's Return to Nukem High, Volume
okay.
1. Like, it's just, like, that with the market being, like, saturated,
mm-hmm.
like, these movies are, like, less special.
Huh.
You know, like, if this movie was, like, if you found this movie at your VHS rental store on a Friday in high school, you'd be like, yeah, but now it's, like...
okay, like, you know what I mean? It's like it's less of a find to come across these movies. Like, it makes them kind of less special.
My only, like, one element of disappointment was that I felt it was just, like, a tiny bit slow-paced. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of points where I was like, okay, I know what you're doing with the scene, and okay, let's just do it. Yep. And so if it had just been, like, a little bit quicker, maybe it's, like, my ADD coming through or whatever, mm-hmm. but I just... Yeah, could have used it being a little faster, but other than that, I thought it was, like, super funny.
Yeah.
Totally entertaining, like, the characters were good, I liked the thing effects, the hand was great.
The hand was really cool.
Yeah, delightful, other than a little slow-paced.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
I mean, and it's, like, cheesy, cornball, I mean, like I said, basically the clearest recommendation you could get is if you like the trauma films. It's not quite as extreme as a lot of the trauma films
are.
Yeah.
There was no nudity. Or was there just maybe a tiny little bit of boob? I don't even remember.
I don't know.
Yeah, not enough.
Not enough nudity, and it's obviously it's not as like manic as the trauma films.
Yeah,
like, we talked about like Return to Nukem High last year, but like how much shit's just going on in the background
all the time, something's going
exactly
on.
Like that. It's you talk about like that slow pace.
Yeah,
which I mean, you know.
Okay, so Midnight Swim was the story of three sisters mm-hmm. who are reunited after the drowning death of her mother. Mm-hmm. The three of them's mother. Uh-huh. They have like a country
houndsman.
It was not.
Oh, that's another Fantasia.
That's another one that we might talk about later. The mother has died, and the three of them return to like it's like a country house or like a cottage or something mm-hmm. where they grew up, I guess, on the shore of this lake. Mm-hmm. And there's this story at the lake that there was seven sisters who all drowned in the lake in the like 1900s or something.
Okay.
Or even earlier 1800s, where like one sister went in wearing their like heavy petticoats or whatever that they were supposed to wear at the time for mm-hmm. modesty, mm-hmm. couldn't get out. When like one sister after the other went in to try and rescue all of them until all seven of them had drowned. So this lake has this like creepy supernatural
past.
Kind of vibe, history of the sisters coming back and like haunting people and whatever, and legends where like if you say seven sisters seven times at midnight at the dock, you know, the ghosts will come for you, whatever.
Right.
So the sisters kind of get themselves wrapped up into that at the same time as you discover that their mom was kind of a bitch and they're like having trouble in their own lives and with their relationships with each other. Mm-hmm. So they're wrestling with that. Likewise, one of them has like a bit of a learning disability, so she's like harder to deal with.
Okay.
And so they connect, they explore the horror elements that are going on in this film, but like mm-hmm. it would be very hard to sell this thing as a horror film or as a suspense thing, because they focus as much on the like family personal drama as they do on the horror.
Okay.
And it doesn't quite like indulge either to not to excess, but like it doesn't indulge either to the point where you can safely call it that kind of a film.
Yeah, so you know, it's like
very
like,
much a hybrid.
You're just as much talking about a family drama as you are about like a suspense thriller.
Right. So, and if you're not really doing suspense all the way, it doesn't hold. So mm-hmm. for me, like I didn't get like gripped the whole way through the film.
Okay.
But at the same time, like I kind of enjoyed it. I thought the characters were really good. The performances were great. But like as any film exploring the vicissitudes of three sisters' relationship would perhaps not be a film for me.
Mm-hmm.
So too was this one, perhaps not a film for me. Like, I'm having no sisters and not being a sister, I just it didn't quite connect in for me. But at the same time, it was beautifully shot. There was a whole bunch of creepy stuff. And so if anything I've talked about tantalized you, like a tale of three sisters or a creepy found footage kind of thing, it's in found footage style. So the sister who I mentioned, who has a learning disability,
mm-hmm.
Kind of like helps her deal with people by keeping them at distance by having them behind a camera.
Okay.
So she's just like recording nonstop all the stuff that they get into.
Huh.
Yep.
That's kind of interesting.
It is.
And would you recommend that, I guess, to
my mom?
It almost sounds like a date horror film.
Yeah,
like
maybe.
Like a supernatural date movie, maybe?
They're just... Like, I don't know.
How are the performances?
The performances were excellent.
Okay.
The sisters were very good. There was, like, a real warmth to the three of them. And apparently, like, in the Q&A after, they actually didn't mm-hmm. have that much time to rehearse. So this was, like, really really good performances out of all of them. Plus, like, they felt like real people. They didn't feel like caricatures or like characters. There was that aspect was outstanding.
That's good.
Yeah.
The one last thing I wanted to say before we move to spoilers about
sure.
Bloody Knuckles is that the fact that, like, I mean, I guess this came across, but I just realized that we didn't necessarily expressly say it, that there mm-hmm. are a good chunk of weird, gross-out horror.
Yeah.
Like, practical, cheesy effects, but there's, like, a good, like, we talked about the guy, like, bubbling forward with his, like, his green goo and, like, stuff like that happens.
Yeah.
Like, people get, like, hole shot through them and, like, head smashed in and, like...
Gratuitous and just for funsies.
And just cheesy enough that it's not actually, like... It's not like you're watching Saw.
No, nothing, no, no, you know, no,
but,
no.
But it's just, like... But it is pretty gratuitous. Like I said, I'd give it a strong... let's watch this on Netflix. Like,
sure.
Let's watch this on Netflix. Not just, like, if it pops up, like...
Yeah. No, let's put that one on the list.
Yeah, exactly. Put that on your to-watch list.
Great. So let's spoil some stuff.
All right.
These are the spoilers.
Okay. So let me spoil out the Midnight Swim.
Okay.
There is never any real solid reveal there was something supernatural actually happening.
Okay.
So some of the supernatural things that occur, birds keep crashing into the windows at night. Just like one every night shows up dead on their doorsill.
Okay.
And there's a possibility that the camera starts recording stuff that nobody is recording on purpose, like it's getting animated and recording itself.
Mm-hmm.
And the sisters at the start of the film try and summon the seven sisters by saying seven sisters seven times at the dock at midnight. And so it's possible there's spooky stuff kind of happening, but it never that like plotline never gets to fruition, which might be why I kind of felt so unsatisfied.
Okay.
And they talk about how, you know, there's it's heavily implied one of the sisters drowns at the end, the one who had mental issues. Mm-hmm. She like has like a rampage at the end where she kind of like breaks down a little bit. And the other sisters,
did she drink rat poison?
No, she did not do that. Nor did green goo explode out of her head.
Oh, damn.
Nor did anybody's hand dock her. But how do I put this quickly? So she like has a freak out, and then her sisters are like, "Look, you freaked out, and we're gonna leave you here, and you're gonna cool down." So they take off.
Okay.
Like, and it feels a little excessive, but really, like, if you've ever dealt with somebody who has mental issues in like a long period as a family member or whatever, sometimes you just have to be like, "Okay, it's chill out time, and that's the only way we can deal with you." And so, like, I don't know. I found them leaving her there was totally believable.
Okay.
And then there was a sequence at the end that sort of implied that she had died and moved on to her next lifetime, where her mother was.
Okay.
And the mother was like, the mother had left behind all these creepy notes that the lake might be some kind of a portal that connects you to your next lifetime.
Okay.
In the whatever. But all of that said, I guess it's nice that it was ambiguous, but because the film didn't really like take the time with the creepy stuff enough to feel like I was in a creepy movie.
Okay.
You know, it didn't like work so much on the thriller side. Just a little. And then
really close to being a really good movie.
It had all the right elements. Everything was there. Yeah, yeah. Like all like the horror elements of like going scuba diving in a super creepy, hyped up, bottomless lake where all kinds of people had drowned, whatever.
Yeah,
like that's rich fields.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right there for plowing. Likewise, the three
Phrasing.
The three sisters, like had a good relationship, good messing with each other. The mom left behind tapes for them to watch, so there was good like creepy dead mom videos. Everything was there, and I just don't think they dialed it up enough for me to really get grabbed.
Cool.
But it was so close. I still like, it's still like fun. Definitely.
Yeah,
worth
like
checking
I kind of want to watch this. Like I do. Like,
but just like, don't go in expecting like a thriller. Like this was really billed as a like found footage thriller in the vein of Blair Witch.
Okay.
And it was really more of a thoughtful, emotional relationship movie.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Is there really anything to spoil about Bloody Knuckles? I mean,
you didn't talk at all about the gay guy. What's his
name?
Yeah, Humongous.
Yeah, exactly.
He was such a good character.
His reveal is a pretty big spoiler.
It's delightful.
Because like they're in the opening montage, they have it's
Vulgarian Invasions.
Vulgarian Invasions is the name of his thing. And is it Homo Dynamis?
I'm looking for it. I think it was Homo Dynamis.
I think it's Homo Dynamis
right.
Or Homo Dynamis or whatever.
Yeah.
And you see this character named Homo Dynamis, which is like a guy in like a leather daddy mask and like just like a strap shirt and like a leather speedo.
Oh, and a leather face mask.
And
thing.
Like exactly, and like boots.
Yeah.
Like kind of like a gimp mask.
Yeah.
And
he's beating up people who are gay bashing.
And he beats up people who are gay bashing, and that's the point of the character.
Yeah.
And then it's like reveal one a big burly gay guy has become this person as his like sexy alter ego.
Yeah.
And then becomes kind of a hero towards the end.
He does.
And like it's fucking hilarious. It's like,
so like the guy with one hand, his disembodied ambulatory conscious hand, and this gay guy become the like three man
wrecking crew. And the gay guy is carrying the head of his dead lover.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. like the end of it was just great. But yeah, I guess there's really not that much to spoil with this one. It's like gross out fun. Is there a love interest? Yeah, there's a love interest. Whatever, you don't have to say anything about that.
Yeah, exactly. Because there isn't really that much. There's no big twist.
Yep.
Or anything. I mean, just
I think we hit the notes.
Matt who?
Matt O'Mahony.
Matt O'Mahony.
Yep.
Spoke with Sophie, sounded like a cool guy, and he made kind of a cool movie.
This was a great movie. This is definitely a go check it out on
Netflix. A-plus Bloody Knuckles.
Great.
And I kind of want to see that
Midnight Swim.
Yeah.
I hope you do. And then we can chat about it, and we'll see if you...
Cool.
If you agree with my assessment.
Now we're going to talk about the double feature of The Man in the Orange Jacket and...
The Seventh Code.
So these were two short films that screened together.
Two short films. One is like a Russian thriller, and the other one... Russia, dude, making thrillers.
Huh.
And then the other one is...
Just point the camera out the window, Russia.
The other one is a kind of a Japanese sort of a romance with a really dark twist.
Okay.
Yep.
I look forward to it.
See you soon.
Hey guys, it's me again. Just a quick reminder, 9to5.cc is a fan-made, fan-supported website. That means we don't have any sort of an advertising budget. The only way we really have to get our name out there is by our fans sharing us, liking us, and supporting us. So if you enjoy what we're doing, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, we're there, tell your friends that this podcast is happening, then it's a lot of fun. Also, if you like what we're doing, we do have a podcast for the rest of the year, John and I, called 9to5 Entertainment System that we do with the other founders of the sites, Scott and Sophie, and we also have another podcast that we do through the rest of the year called Go Plug Yourself, for myself and Walter J. Ling, talk to people that have interesting stuff coming up in Montreal. So once again, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, we're on both of them. If you see us at the festival, come say hey, and keep listening and keep enjoying the show. We're going to try to keep having episodes pretty much on a daily basis. Fantasia has been so great so far, so I'm done. Here we go. Thanks for listening.
9to5.cc. We're not working. Why should you? Thanks for listening.